Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. So nice to see every one of you here today. We have a full house. Hallelujah. So good. It's so good to enjoy each other's company, but more than that, you know, to enjoy the presence of the Lord. If you're wondering what we believe in, you're visiting with us, you're watching online, we believe that Jesus Christ is alive, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. We believe in the reality of God, that God is able to come into our midst because He said so. He said, where two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Why do we pray so loudly? Because it is commanded in the Bible to worship God with all your strength, all your might, to clap unto the Lord, to shout unto the Lord. These are commands in the Word of God. And when we do that, He says, I will come and live in the praises of my people. Amen. God lives in an atmosphere of praise where there is grumbling and complaining. This goes for your homes as well. God cannot do what He wants to do because that's what happened with the children of Israel. They were grumbling, they were complaining, and the Bible says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. Can you imagine putting chains around God? He wants to do so much, but they limited Him. So we believe that God wants to do many things for us. He loved us so much that He gave us Jesus. Come on. He loves us. God loves us tremendously. So we want to welcome you again. Yesterday, we had our staff meeting, and Pastor Jonathan asked me, what are you going to preach on? And I said, I'll be preaching on prayer. Yeah, he didn't say anything, but I'm sure the question on his mind was, again? And the answer is, yes. So, Pastor, how long are you going to preach on prayer? Until you come and tell me how God has answered your prayer. And I know that you have been praying. It's no point talking about prayer, saying prayer changes things, and yet we don't pray. Prayer is the essential. Prayer brings heaven into our context. Come on, amen. That's why we need to pray. So I'll be talking about prayer. The last time I spoke to you on prayer was on Nehemiah, where the title of the message was, So I Prayed, referring to Nehemiah. This morning, I want to go into Genesis chapter 32, verse 9 and verse 10. And this is what it says, and this is the title of my message. Then Jacob prayed. That's the title. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you said to me, go back to your country, to your relatives. I will make you prosper. That good word to have from God? I will make you prosper. Not I will prosper you, but I will make you prosper. You got to do a little bit of work yourself. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I've become two camps. He is tremendously blessed. Prayer is the most essential thing. Then Jacob prayed. That's interesting. It is not some great Israel or Abraham or you know, a Daniel. This is Jacob. The man's name itself means supplanter, deceiver. Now, if Jacob prayed and God answered his prayer, I think there's hope for all of us. Can I hear an amen? Huh? Because we are not, you know, we look at ourselves very often and we think, Pastor can pray for me, huh? Brother so-and-so can pray. Why? Because somehow we feel that we are just not good enough. And here is a person that God declares in His written word, for all eternity the word is settled. God has recorded it. He hears the prayers of individuals like this. Can I hear an amen? God loves us. But one of the things that we must understand, we must know consciously who God is and who we are to even speak to God. Listen to what Abraham said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 27. I'm reading from the Message translation. Abraham came back. Now he's talking to God, so he comes back with a reply, one after the other. Then he goes, do I, a mere mortal made from a handful of dirt, dare open my mouth again to my master? Now remember that Abraham didn't have the book of Genesis to know that he was made from dirt. We know that we've all been made from dirt, right? God took the dirt and made man. Abraham did not know that. He didn't have Genesis to refer to, how God created man. There was just something inside of him that knew that he was nothing but dirt. And the word master there simply does not mean like a schoolmaster, like a headmaster. It refers to ownership. Who am I, the creator being? That's what the master refers to. Who am I who have been, just but dust, opening my mouth and speaking to this being who created all things? Do I have that right, God? That's what he's saying. And when we understand who we are talking to, this God has given us permission to speak to him. Do I dare open my mouth and speak to this God? And once this consciousness comes in, see, the problem with us is we don't really know God like he should be known. You know, as I was reading through the scriptures, I have to say to myself, don't mess with God. God is God. He is the creator God. That's who he is. Yes, he's our Heavenly Father. The problem with grace in the New Testament, as many teach it, has become disgrace. We live lives that have got no fear of God. So David writes in Psalm 34 and verse 11, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, where you understand who this great God is. Here is Jacob giving a testimony to Laban, his father-in-law. Listen to what he says. Genesis 31, verse 42. Unless the God of my father, he's now testifying to how God has blessed him. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, that's God's name. The God of Abraham, my father, but he's also the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands. He says this once again in verse 53. Jacob swore by the fear of Isaac. Learning and understanding who this God is should cause our hearts to tremble, to understand that this God would allow me to come into his presence and bear my heart to him. You know, so sometimes, you know, people say, Pastor David, he always preached from the Old Testament. You know, I've taught a lot from the New Testament as well. And why do you always teach from the Old Testament? Because that's what the apostles used to preach. They didn't have a New Testament. New Testament came only later. So they kept referring to the Old Testament, which is a shadow. New Testament is the reality. Old Testament is Christ hidden. All the greatness of God is hidden. New Testament is Jesus comes to make it all real to us. And so they preach from that to say, now everything is being fulfilled. The God who promised all these things in the Old Testament now has come to our world through Jesus Christ. And now we can enjoy the reality, the fulfillment of what was hidden a long time ago. And because of that, Paul says, the prophets of old desired to look and live in the time and season we live in. Come on, amen. We are living in good times. We are living in the year of the Lord's favor. Nobody said amen. So he's praying to this God. Now I want to talk a little bit about this God, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this message and help you to at least catch a glimpse of who this God is. Number one, Jacob is praying to a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. The covenants began with Adam and Eve. God made a covenant with them. And it went on. You read through the Bible, made a covenant with Noah, he made a covenant with Abraham. And God is jealous over the covenant he makes. A covenant is simply a promise. God makes a promise and keeps a promise. You have in your hand, if you have a Bible with you, it's called the Old Covenant and New Covenant, or what we call Old Testament and New Testament. The word testament means covenant. So God has given us, he makes covenants with people and he makes sure that he fulfills it. You know, I was reading Jeremiah and God said to Joshua, and I'm about to finish the book of Joshua. Towards the end, Joshua says, every word that God had spoken, he made sure they were all fulfilled and every promise settled. He was giving them all the portions of the land. They had now come into the promised land. And so when they came into the promised land, Joshua is now a little old and advanced in age. He stands back. He says, not one word of the Lord has failed. Every word that he has given for your good has been fulfilled. Now, folks, that's old covenant. But God fulfills his word in the old covenant. We are living now in the new covenant. Come on, say amen. Why is this so important to God? Jeremiah 14, verse 21. For the sake of your name, he's praying, do not despise us. How will God despise us? Because if he does, then he dishonors his glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. You've heard me say this again and again. When I pray the scriptures. I pray what God has promised me. Because you see, God is not a man that he should lie. We all know that promises are made to be. You dare not say it. Broken. Promises are made to be broken. It is a very sad state of affairs that over the slightest things now, hear me carefully, even Christians divorce. This must never be found. God hates it. This is not the plan of God. Because when you come before the altar, you make a covenant with each other and you promise. This is what I mean when I say many people don't understand what they are doing when they come into the presence of God. We must understand that we are dealing with this great creator God, and the fear of God must be in our heart. Not that we are frightened of him, but that in the place where we want to avoid him, it is because of who he is and what he has done to bring us into this fellowship that we fear him. Come on, amen. So when God gives commands to us, we should never take it lightly. We do not speak of it glibly. We need to understand that God expects us to fulfill his word. Have you noticed that God did not give Moses the 10 suggestions? Hello? I suggest that you have no other gods before me. I suggest that you do not kill. I suggest that you do not covet. Were there suggestions? I suggest that you love one another. I suggest that you pray. I suggest that you give. There's no such thing as suggestions. It is all command. Why does he command? Because he is the king of all kings. He does not give just light statements. When he gives a word, when he gives his word, the word where the word of the king is, the Bible says there is power. So when God gives his word, he has to guard the position that he is. His throne will be despised if he dishonors his covenant. That is why, you know, when they prayed, they brought God to his word. They said, but God, you said so. This is what you said. Therefore, we expect you to fulfill it. Then Jesus comes along the scene, Matthew 26, 26 to 28, which is what we will be celebrating this morning. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. Take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them and he said, drink from it all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So Hebrews says, if the old covenant was that good, there would not have been the need for a new covenant. But now when Jesus does this, everything changes. See, in the old covenant, you brought the lamb and you sacrificed, or the bull or whatever you had, and you sacrificed it, and the blood covered your sins, but the blood could not cleanse your sins. They were there, and so they had to come year after year and year after year and sacrifice and sacrifice, and the flowing of the blood of animals would stain the entire temple. But when Jesus came, John shouts out, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You don't have to come again and again and offer a sacrifice, because once and for all, Jesus has done it through the new covenant. Another part of the gospel, he says, with great desire have I desired to do this with you. He's saying this to them, the last meal they're going to have before he goes to the cross. And yet he says, with great desire, waited for this moment to break this covenant, to cut a new covenant with you. And this is a covenant not with the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and doves. This is the blood of the Son of God. God will honor the covenant. That's why you have heard me pray sometimes, God, do not let Calvary be in vain. Come on, amen. His blood cleanses us, and by his stripes we are healed. This is the covenant with God. Come on. Amen. The Old Testament, they could not enter into the Holy of Holies under the Old Covenant. But the New Covenant, the veil of the temple is torn. God comes out to meet with us. We go in to meet with God. The veil is torn. We can meet with God now under the New Covenant. I've said this, and hear me again. Jesus did not come to die for our sins. He came to bring us into the presence of the Lord. And in order to bring us into the presence of God, he had to die for our sins. That was not the goal. The goal was us standing in God's presence and talking to him face to face and knowing that God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. So when he accepts me, it is not because I have been good, but because of the covenant that he had made. So you read through the Old Testament, you go, and God remembered the covenant that he had made with Abraham, not because of the goodness of Jacob, but because of the covenant that he had made. God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Can I hear an amen? Number two, he is a God. The God that Jacob prayed to was a God who desires to be personal. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham. Why didn't he say my grandfather? That's his grandfather. The word father simply means the one who is my instructor, the one who is the one who provided, protected me. Now remember that Jacob grew up also on the lap of his grandfather. Right now, you know, I'm holding grandbaby number 11. And in the morning when I hold him and they bring him to me, I hold him in my arms and I sing worship songs and then I bless him just like I've done with all the other grandkids. When I held them in my arms, I will carry them and bless them. Come on. And then I will sing some songs and I'll speak some words. And when I pray over them, I would be instructing. This is how Jacob was brought up on the lap of Abraham. God of my father, you are the God of my father Abraham. You're the God of my father Isaac. Lord, you said to me. Oh, I pray that every one of you will be able to say, you know, God said this to me. And I took that word, man. And I prayed that word. And now look what has happened. That is why I keep preaching on prayer. So that I can hear you come and tell me, Pastor, you know that word. I took that word and I went and prayed. And something good happened. Come on. See, It's either you believe it or you just throw it out. If God is God, serve Him. Not if God is God, sing a song to Him. Come on. Some of you don't like me already. The truth be spoken. If God be God, serve Him. I will be your servant, God. I am nothing but a servant. At the end of it, we will all stand before God and say, we were unworthy servants. But the point is, if He is God, then understand, let Him be God. Let Him do what He has always wanted to do. Come on, God loved us so much. You're holding the emblems of what Jesus has done for us. That's how much God loves us. He loves us. And He wants to be personal. Encourage me, say amen. All right, number three, a benevolent God. Not maleficent, which is the opposite. Maleficent is to be evil, to be hurtful, to harm. God wants to be good. Chapter 32, verse 10. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Jacob began his journey as a cheat, worked for his uncle as a cheat, running away, stole things from the uncle, ran away as a cheat. And here he is, in spite of all the things that he was going through, he says, all the time you were showing me kindness and you were showing me your faithfulness. Come on. He is a good God. Though I am unfaithful, Paul says, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. How can I be unfaithful? Just because you don't act faithful, I must stop acting faithful. That's us. You treat me like this, I shall treat you back. You do like this to me, I shall do back. Thank God he's not like that. Amen. That one you should say amen. I often thank God I'm not God. Lord, I thank you I'm not like you. Because when you said vengeance is mine, I will say vengeance is mine now. I will repay now. You slap me on the right, I smash you on the left. That's me. I need to change. But God is not like that. He is called long-suffering. But don't mess with God. For you are flesh and God is spirit. And I will not strive with man always. That's what God said. I will keep talking to you. I will keep trying with you. I will keep on being as patient can be. I will keep on trying to get you in. But if you don't listen after some time, man, I'll have to just withdraw my hand. And the worst punishment, great theologians have said this, is when God says he's taking away his presence. And we don't even know it. Like Samson, again and again, man, he pushed the patience of God. Again and again, until the time came where the Spirit of the Lord had left Samson. He got up, he shook as before. In other words, just like many of us, we come inside, we clap our hands like before, we sing like before, we do everything like before, and don't know that God has literally left. I don't want to come to a place like that. Come on, amen. But he is a good God. He is a benevolent God. He wants to bless us. He wants to show us His goodness. For I know we all know that scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The plans that I have for you are good plans, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. These are the plans I have for you. Come on, amen. God is a good God. Number four, a prayer answering God. Then Jacob prayed. Why did he pray? Because he knew. He saw how God had worked in the life of Grandpa Abraham. He had seen how God answered prayer with Isaac, how the Lord had blessed them from nothing. They came out of Chaldea with nothing, basically, and God blessed everything, and Isaac became rich and continued to grow rich and became a very, very rich man. That's what the scripture says. Rich, 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 richer. Isaac. And so he saw how God blessed. Come on, amen. And so if you had see that, at least if you don't see that in your life now, watch it happening in other people. If God can do that with them, that's how I pray. When I pray for our church, when I pray for our city, Shalom, I will say, God, if you can do that in Wales, if you can do that in Pensacola, if you can do that in Toronto, what's the big thing? The earth is the Lord's anyway. Why can it not happen? If you can do it like in different places where I read about revivals, why can it not happen here in Shalom? Are you not the same God? Do you have favorites? No, God is the same. So that's how we pray. Verse 11, save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid. I am afraid. Here is Elijah standing with 400 priests from the other religion. They're standing on this mountain called Carmel. And so he says, all right, you guys keep calling to your God, and then I'll call on mine. Let the God who answers prayer, of course it says by fire, but the point of it all is, let the God, see, this is how you pray. This is how you pray. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. This is how you pray. Your word declares that you are the God. That's what Elijah said. The God who answers prayer, be God. So I want you to be God. So answer my prayer. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? If he is, then that's how I pray. Are you not the same? Will you not do it again, oh God? That's why prayer has become an exciting thing to me, that he does answer prayer. He is, that's his name, the prayer answering God. God does not need a name. He is God. Why does he need a name? The reason why he gives us a name is so that we can understand what he wants to do. Jehovah Jireh, he doesn't need that name. Who's going to stand in his presence? You think when you stand in his presence, you're going to say, oh, great Jehovah Jireh. No, you cannot speak when you're in his presence. He is the creator being and you are a created being. You will bow before your fall on the ground before him and worship. Because even in the Bible, when the angels came, they fell in front of angels. How much more will they fall before God when you stand before him? You will not utter his name. But he gives us his name so that we can know Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He gives us these names so we can understand what he wants to do. Amen. If you're not enjoying the message, I am. Number 5. And I will close with this. And everybody say, amen. Now you say amen. Y'all are rascals, huh? Number 5, he is a life-transforming God. Look around you, man. And this is evidence that God is a life-transforming God. We've been pastors here now for 40 years. I've watched people come in. When they first came in, I've watched with my very own eyes to see the darkness on their faces removed and a lightness come in. I've watched people come in who were so sad and depressed. Now they are so filled with joy. People who wanted to be so reserved, don't want to talk to anybody, but now they are so outgoing. What happened? God is a life-transforming God. I myself stand as a testimony of what God can do with a person like me, former drug addict, totally given up by teachers and friends and even family. Now God has accepted me and transformed my life. How God has blessed me with a wonderful family, wonderful church, wonderful people that I meet, taken me places that I would never even dream of going, seen things that I would never have dreamed of seeing. God has blessed me tremendously. He is a life-transforming God. And so in chapter 32, verse 24, Jacob was left alone. Everybody say alone. Yesterday I was sharing with the leaders, our pastoral staff, and I'm just saying, one of the things we have to learn to do, when Jesus said to us, when you pray, go inside the closet and shut the door. Our problem is we have left doors open so wide that everything distracts us, and God cannot do what He wants to do. Sometimes He removes. He removed from Jacob. His entire family was removed. I'm not saying you have to leave your whole family. What I'm saying is you have to learn how to be alone with God, even in crowded places. Learn to be there and shut the door on all the things that so distract you. Like I said, you know, I think I shared it with you. We all hold in our hands a weapon of mass distraction. You cannot help but look at your phone. I got sharing with Jonathan. They say in a service like this, while you're listening to me, many people are tempted to look at their phones at least 12 times. It was said by an American preacher. Thank God it happens in American churches, not Malaysia. But they are tempted to just look at their phone. You say, go and look at the Bible. I was telling Pastor Lifan, well, we were coming in the car. One of the biggest mistakes that they made in the education system is to get the children to study on their laptops. They don't look at books anymore. Do you know that they are studying from their laptops, or they have it half of it they are watching movie, watching their pop show? You're not there to check. Weapons of mass distraction. You think they can study? Give them their books. Hui. Pastor, old thought lah, old school lah. I'd rather be old school. I still know how to read books. I still know how to write. Hello? You look at some of them, ask them to write and see. Look at their writing. We know how to follow lines. Oh, Pastor, you live in 1800s, huh? Yeah? Huh? This is the biggest mistake. Many of them cannot study because they are so distracted by so many things. You tell people, oh, go back home and read the Bible. Oh, Pastor, I don't have a Bible. I read on my phone. Really? Seriously? Seriously? You're going to read on your phone? How much time is spent? Your phone will tell you how many times, how many hours you spend on it. Correct or not? Whether increase or decrease. I guarantee you most phones increase. Not you didn't use your phone so much. I didn't use my phone for 3 hours this week. Oh, you're so happy with yourself, huh? How much time is spent on that? All right. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him, and this man is Jesus himself. Hallelujah. When you are alone, God can come and do a work in you. And he won't stop. Wrestle with him until the break of day. Verse 28. Then he said to him, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. I'm going to transform you. You're not going to be this loser anymore. You're now going to be a prince with God. You're not just going to be an ordinary man. Not going to be known by what you have known all along. Now you're going to be totally transformed. You shall be called Israel because you have striven with God and with man and you have prevailed. This is the God I serve. A God who wants to transform my life, transform your situation. God changes you before he changes circumstances. You know, once you are changed, your perception towards circumstances and situations also change. You know how you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right, let's stand together now. Let's invite the worship team to come. Amen. Amen.